or complete high school football coverage anytime, log on to ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore, 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7TheHawk.com.
And we are back here from Toms River High School North, where the Mariners leading the Jackson Memorial Jaguars by a score of 35-7. Great job out of Ed Saralukin. Appreciate the recruiting guru of the Shore, Chris Melvin, stopping by and giving us some time and some good insight to some of the Shore's top players. Again, our halftime show tonight brought to you by Yolanda's River House. You can visit them at YolandasRiverHouse.com. Some scores to pass along obviously with Toms River North leading this one 35-7. It is the big one up in Monmouth County. Two real big ones, actually. Manalapan leading Middletown South by a score of 28-20. It is Neptune 25. Check it. Another score just came in. Neptune 32 and Mattawan 3. That game turning out to be a one-sided affair. Red Bank Catholic leading Raritan by a score of 42-0. Sticking in Monmouth County, Long Branch on top of Wall, 19-0. Also up in Monmouth County, Rumson with a 3-0 advantage on Red Bank. Shore leading South River by a score of 31-0. Back here in Ocean County in A South, Southern Regional leading Brick Township 13-0. It is Toms River East trailing Brick Memorial by a score of 31-22. In Class B South, Barnegat and Jackson Liberty are scoreless at the half, and Central has a 35-7 advantage right now on Pinelands. Still trying to track down scores of Monmouth Regional and Homedale, Manasquan and St. John Vianney, JFK, Island, and Ocean. The schedule for tomorrow starts at noon with a trio of games, Asbury Park home for Point Borough, Point Beach at Modern Day, Middlesex playing at Keyport, and then at 1 o'clock, Lakewood entertaining Manchester, Middletown North will be at Colts Neck, Toms River South at Lacey, Friel Township playing at Marlborough, and Keensburg welcoming in Dunellen. Tomorrow on the Shore Sports Network, you can have Monmouth University football streaming either online or on the radio at shoresportsnetwork.com or 1160, 1310 a.m. as the Hawks are up in Albany for a key one in the Northeast Conference against Albany. Myself, Eddie Acapinti, on the air right around 1250. We did just get a score on Manasquan St. John Vianney. Big Blue leading the Lancers 35-6. We step out, take a 60-second timeout. When we come back, we'll talk about this game a little bit more here, spend some more time talking about life and retirement for Chris Barnes, the former Jackson and Wall head coach. That's, of course, retirement from coaching. Hasn't been fortunate enough to retire yet from teaching with a couple of daughters to still send through college. Toms River North 35, Jackson 7. We're back right after this quick 60-second break. You're listening to the Open MRI of Wall Game of the Week on 105.7 The Hawk.
Now, back to the Open MRI of Wall High School Football Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network, 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
Second half about set to get up and running here from Toms River High School North as the team is starting to make their way back towards the field. Jackson gathering off in the end zone in the distance. Toms River North will make that short walk from the field house. I've always been amazed by the school setups for some of these places. I mean, Chris, I'm sure you've had to deal with it. I mean, it was no short walk back to the school at Wall.
Oh, no.
And at some of these schools, I mean, Jackson has to walk all the way across campus, basically,
yeah,
to get into their locker room. I can't imagine, especially with the team losing,
it's
that
hike.
It's a fun walk.
I've been in both situations, and even here when I was at Jackson, and I said in 94 we were really just trying to hang on, and it was a long walk at halftime. Now, you know, later on in 99, our last year, we were...
You had a bounce in your step.
We had a little bounce on our step, putting a little thumping on the Mariners there, and then felt a little bit better. That walk back was a glide back.
I always thought, can't you put up some kind of non-permanent structure and just gather around and talk about it a little bit?
I tell you, Wall was the same thing, and it wasn't until I realized, it was really when I was walking a Thanksgiving Day game last year, and I had in my heart that I thought it might be my last game. And I was walking, and I said, man, I've been doing this walk for 12 years.
Yeah.
How many miles is that if I add that up?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a long – you're right. Can't we put a structure up? Can't we put
something
up?
Something.
You know?
Well, we're at halftime still, and Toms River North has made that short walk back from the field house, and the Mariners lead it right now by a score of 35-7. Ed, seemingly, as we've talked about during this course of the first half, Toms River North has been able to do almost anything they want, short of one mistake defensively where Jackson was able to squeak down and then punch one in. It was 14-7. Toms River North opened up the game going up 14-0, and then they scored the last 21 points of the game I mean, to me at least, and we certainly don't want anybody to turn the radio off as they're listening to us, but to me, it would take a comeback of epic proportions for this game to turn around.
Yeah, I don't really think that's going to happen, Matt. I talked to a few of the Mariner coaches as they came on the field. I said, one more score or one more series each way, and they said maybe one more quarter. So I think the reasoning behind that could be the bye next week, you know. Now, if they go off and get two or three touchdowns, I think there might be some hard feelings if the starters are not pulled. It's a tough situation on both sides of the field, you know, because the Mariners got to know when to pull the, you know, take the hand off the trigger. And, Chris, I know, you know, if they put three more on the board here with starters, I think you'd be kind of upset if you were on the other sideline.
Yeah, and I don't think Coach LaBarca will. Coach, you're right, though. That wouldn't be a good situation for anybody. You know, you have kids who are working hard as anybody, you know, on the Jackson sideline, and they're doing all the right things, and their staff are, you know, and you want to have the integrity of the game in place, you know, and you don't want to lose sight of that. You know, you'd want to get one here, because if you can push it to what we talked about, Coach, with that 35-point rule and get the clock going and you get out of here with a win.
And then we should say, too, I mean, at some point, if the half continues as the first half did, or at least the score holds up for a little bit, and we start to see some second and third team guys, I mean, then kind of all bets are off. I mean, if it's our second team against your second team, we're gonna try to score, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is that kind of how it goes?
Yeah.
We might not throw the ball, but if a guy breaks a 30-yard touchdown run, it's a 30-yard touchdown run for a JV running back.
Without a doubt, if you're keeping with your base offense, and I've been in both situations, and your kids aren't just really making the plays, it's, you know, that's a part of the game. That's football.
The clock winding down here after both teams came on, and they have to do that obligatory 3-minute stretch rule that nobody really does anything except stand around and just kind of look at each other. Ed, you have your pet peeves. I think that's mine. I think that's my rule.
That and not being able to run it out of the end zone on the kickoffs. I don't like that one.
Well, tonight, that hasn't been an issue because if you're 10 yards back and you're Jackson, I don't think you're going to run it out anyway.
I know, but still, there were a couple that were only 5 yards. Anyway, I just had a nice long talk with the referee, and he's facing the area where we did see a little lightning. I don't want to say that dirty word, but we have determined it to be heat lightning right now.
Okay.
So,
I think, I don't know, Matt, if it's true. The Barnes women texted me about, you know, they're Big Blue Warrior travelers now, and they said the game I thought was canceled, or was not canceled, but was being postponed in Vianney.
Okay.
You know, with lightning.
Wow. I know the girls go to Manasquan now.
Yes.
But, I mean.
Yes.
I mean.
I call them Big Blue Warrior Travelers. I didn't call myself
yikes.
That.
I mean, holy.
I'm still a Crimson Knight at heart.
Talk about crazy situation.
Yeah, that's tough. That blue in the house is not enough red. I try to make up for it.
I was going to say, you probably still have some orange sprinkled around.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yes, I do. I'll never let that go.
Former Syracuse graduate. Before making his way back into the shore after a great career under the legendary head coach Vic Cabu at Middletown High School North.
You got orange there, too.
And orange there,
that's
too.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
Chris Gula going to come on and start this second half off. He was warming up in between the halftime break here. Again, had no problem driving the ball. He'll spot it here at the 40-yard line. This is the sixth time he has kicked off. Five after touchdowns and one now to begin the half, and he is putting all of them into the end zone. He will put this one into the end zone about 7 or 8 yards deep, and Jackson seems like they've set up real estate at the 20-yard line. They'll have it first down and 10 as we get the third quarter up and running.
Same spot, Coach. You see that? Right over that R, three in a row.
Exactly, and the middle of the field at the 20-yard line getting worn out a little bit because, as Matt just said, that's where Jackson has started every drive. What a weapon.
It sure is. Big smile on the face of our normal broadcast partner, Kevin Williams, when we have learned that Gula heavily involved with Penn State on the recruiting side. Here's the inside carry for Jackson to begin this third quarter. The carry is for Glover. He will work his way out to the 25-yard line and pick up five to bring up a second and five.
I don't know if you heard Chris Melvin, guys. I know you like to take a break at halftime, but he said that Gula went down to Virginia, and they are really excited about him. And So he's going to have a few schools looking after him, and but he's pretty set verbally on Penn State, but anything could happen.
Yeah, the one thing you should learn is we don't listen to you at halftime. That's break time. Lombana almost has it intercepted. Good read and breaking on the football from Jalen Hunter, the far side corner for Tom's River North. That would have been six. Instead, incomplete and sets up a third and five. I'm only kidding, Ed. I look forward to your interviews at halftime.
I actually thought that was a pretty good one with Chris. I mean, he is very knowledgeable about the top recruits in the state, you know, and I've always had my contention at the short conference that can't back down from any conference in the state and even in some of the other states, surrounding states. We play some of the best football around.
And I can back that up, Coach. Just in the recruiting, over the years in recruiting, the coaches coming in, you know, the high regard they have of the level of football being played in the short conference, it's up there with some of the best in the Northeast.
A couple of scores to pass along after this third down play, and Lombana will get sacked again. He's had a tough time staying on his feet when he has tried to throw. Patrick Corrigan, the outside linebacker, on the sack, and it will set up another three and out here for Jackson to begin this third quarter, and back on will become the punt team. Brick Memorial at the half, leading Tom's River East by a score of 31-22. They're in the third quarter now in these two games. Red Bank Catholic leads Raritan 49-0. Jackson, Liberty, and Barnegat are still scoreless. And Long Branch leading Wall in the third quarter 25-0. High end-over-end kick, but short. Fields will call for a fair catch and make it at the Jackson 40-yard line. So here's another opportunity for the Mariners to strike and maybe get that clock to run. They are a touchdown and an extra point away from being up 35, and that would invoke what we have talked about as the mercy rule, which is when you're up 35 points, the clock continues to run.
Again, I think Coach LeBarque will probably just stick to some of his base offensive plays.
Scalfani, the sophomore quarterback, who has led his team to two wins, 35 points against Howell, 20 in a loss over Lacey, and 17 last week to Southern, on the verge of a season high here. It will be Scalfani. This time going to break it to the near sideline, come around right end, be close to a first down, stop just shy of the 30-yard line. He'll be about a yard away from moving the chains. We'll call it a 9-yard pickup, and it'll bring up a second and one.
Yeah, his poise, I think it's only going to get better for Tom's River North as the season rolls along. You can just see his poise, his field sense. You know, he's got the leadership qualities. You know, this is going to help them down the road with the experiences he's gaining right now.
Second and one, Scalfani operating in a pistol formation, short shotgun look. Matt LaMonica, the fullback, will go offset eye to the left side. Here's Joey Fields into the open field. He will have a first down over the 25 to the 23-yard line, a gain of 8. Chains will move, and a fresh set of downs for Tom's River North to work with.
Wow, that speed on the edge, Coach. You see that?
Yeah.
That change of direction. Man.
Yeah. Usually, you don't see him lined up in the backfield very often. As a matter of fact, I think that's the first time tonight
he's
been back there. He's usually in the slot, and I'll let you know what Chris Melvin said about Fields right after this play.
Fields will now set himself to the right of Scalfani. Split backfield look, and Scalfani will keep it up the middle. Quarterback sneak, a quarterback draw, rather, and Scalfani will get into the end zone for a North touchdown. This one coming from 23 yards out made it look pretty simple, and the Mariners leading it 41-7.
That play, you see more now of these spread offenses. It's really a designed inside zone play with the quarterback, and one of the backs flashing across parallel to the line of scrimmage, and the other back leading in a kick out, and the quarterback rides it and heads downhill, and it's a very difficult play to defend. Very difficult play to defend.
Here's Gula on for the extra point. Sorry, Ed, you can jump in just a second. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up. And it is good. Makes it 42-7 in favor of Tom's River North with 8:32 remaining in the third quarter. Ed.
Well, they're going to need a new football right off the bat because that one went to the mall. But anyway, I asked, Chris about Fields, you know, and I think they list him at 5'9 in the program, 170 or so. I don't know if he's that big.
Right. He looks about 5'9, 170, yeah, right on the money.
I think he looks about 5'7, 5'8 to me, but he said, and he's a junior, he said he's probably got 3 or 4 inches in him from this year to next year. I don't quite agree with that. I mean, if he does, I mean, he's going to be a big-time Division I kid, but I don't know if he could put 4 inches on that body right now.
It's the genetic test, Toots. Where's his parents? Yeah. Mine is parents. Always ends up working somewhere.
You know, I think it was his uncle who I was talking to at Neptune on Saturday.
Right.
And he told me, hey, what do you think of that kid, Joey Field? You know, I saw you at the game. I said, well, he's a talent, that's for sure.
Man,
you know?
Stretch him. We can just stretch him a little bit.
But I don't know if he could get to 6 foot. We'll see.
Gula on to kick off.
Okay, let's go. I got
8 yards deep.
I got 6 yards deep on this one.
All right.
It's getting tired.
I got money on the R.
Drives this one deep. And I don't know, Ed. Somewhere between 6 and 8, maybe 7.
Yeah. On the M this time, though, at Mariners, not the
pushed
R.
It a little bit to the left and out to the 20-yard line. Jackson has it this quarter with the potential to go pretty fast because the clock is now running.
Mercy rule in effect.
With the mercy rule in effect, team up by 35 points. The only time they do stop it, I think, is after a scoring play.
Score. And injury.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
And, of course, timeout, you know.
Yeah.
First and 10 for Lombana. Starter still in there for Tom Zervanorth defensively. Here's the inside carry will go for Glover. He'll pick up 5 out to the 25-yard line. Chris, the division's restructured again this year. You know, A-South has kind of become the traditional A-South again with the additions of Lacey and Brick. Top to bottom, even though we're maybe not seeing the best of Jackson Memorial tonight, as you know from coaching in the division, kind of going back to what it used to be with Lacey and Brick back in it, it is a very tough division top to bottom.
Very tough division top to bottom. And I did see that in the restructure, and it came out this summer. I looked at the divisions, and it reminds you of the Old Shore Conference in many ways, many of the divisions in the way it's structured. But very, very difficult. There's no break. I mean, there really isn't any break. You've got playoff-caliber football being played week to week, you know. And I think the experience, the teams that stay out of injuries with experience are the teams that are gonna qualify.
Glover had a carry on second down, able to pick up the first out to the 32-yard line now for Jackson on first and 10. Glover will get the carry again, this time off the left side, stacked up with the line of scrimmage and dropped after a 1 yard pickup. And then you look at a division that you would be in if you were still coaching at Wall, you know, Wall making the move from that C Central, which was such kind of a weird division, up to B North with Mattawan, Neptune, Long Branch, Red Bank, Free Old and Ocean. That's no cakewalk either.
No cakewalk. You know, you're looking at each and every week being challenged by great coaching staffs, many teams with tradition, fighting for the same position you want to be in.
And I'm going to throw a question down to you after this second down play.
Okay.
Second down and 8. Here's the carry off the right side for Justin Gullo. He will get to the 35-yard line. Short gain on the play. Set up a third and long. So there's 6 divisions now, right, in the Shore Conference.
Yeah, from 7, right.
A North, A Central, A South, same at the B. I want you to rank the divisions from top to bottom.
Oh, I can't do that without looking at them. I don't even know who's in what division yet. You know, I get to give you the A South division because it's predominantly.
No,
the
I don't
games
want you to rank the teams. I want you to just tell me what the hardest divisions are.
I've got to look at the divisions. You know, I'm just happy that they're back to the A and the B as opposed to the Liberty and the American and all that other junk that they had.
Third down and long. Lombana steps, throws over the middle.
Should have
incomplete at midfield. No flag comes out.
Looked like we could have had one there.
Yeah, it looked like he reached in his pocket, couldn't find the flag, so he didn't throw it. And there's a situation here now where the clock continues to run. Normally it would stop.
Right.
All right, Barnsey, I'm going to throw that question to you.
I would
the divisions from top to bottom, 1 through 6.
I would think right now what we just mentioned with the A-South being maybe top, as I looked at it earlier in the year, in some of the experience back with the way the teams are playing now early in the season, I would rate maybe that A-South you know, as number one, you know, and then probably not far from that, I would think A North, Manalapan, Middletown South, very strong, or and then a close third, I would say the B North with Mattawan, Neptune, Long Branch, Wall, you know, Red Bank, Freehold, Ocean. I think right there would be A South, A North, then the B North. And after that, I think it's very competitive. You know, the remaining three divisions are very competitive, very, very much the same.
A Central with teams like Red Bank Catholic and Rumson and Manasquan.
Yeah, you know what? It's hard. There you go.
I think that would probably be my next pick.
Next one, absolutely.
B South maybe, which all things equal, probably another good year in B South. And then, unfortunately, that B Central kind of gets always put to the bottom, doesn't it, Ed, of those small school teams?
Yeah, but, you know.
Good football that's played there.
Good football.
You know, we said it. I don't know who said it Thursday night last night, but it's entirely possible that Shore Regional and Point Pleasant Beach could play back-to-back. They play on Thanksgiving. I think they're going to both make the finals in that Central 1. And they could play back-to-back football games. I think it was Scott Stump who said that.
So yeah. We had a change of possession on a punt. Tom's River North has the football. It is now 2nd and 10. We'll bounce around and talk about some stuff as the clock continuing to move here. Under 3 minutes, North has made a substitution at the quarterback spot with Mark Nagilio coming in to take over.
Yeah, now it looks like we're getting some subs in. Right thing to do here, get your young kids in. Maybe you keep some of that offensive line in. But, you know, you exchange your skill players, give them a chance to get on the field.
We are at the 220 mark. Tom's River North leads this one by a score of 42-7. I guess all in all, though, I mean, if you looked at it between the six divisions, what you do have is, as Ed said, and Chris, what you said, is you have pretty good football here in the Shore Conference.
Without a doubt. Without question. Year in and year out. And I do say that because you're, you know, in the recruiting process, the coach is coming in and you sit and talk a lot of football and a lot about area players. And they've always had a high regard for the Shore Conference, without question.
By the way, Matt, you wanted a home Del Mamet score. I got one for you. 26-7. Homedale leads it over Mammoth Regional. So Homedale, Frank Papaleo looking to go 3-1. The first half of
had
the
a
year.
Nice win early in the season, right?
Yes,
Coach?
He did.
That would be a pretty good story for Homedale to be 3-1. Yes. High snap off a punt. Gula fields it and skies this one. Bounces at the 30-yard line. Will take a north bounce inside the 25. Now continuing to roll inside the 20 and down about the 19-yard line. And as this third quarter has flown by with now 65 seconds remaining, Jackson will get the football, first down and 10.
Matt, Chris, I got to give you this one. At halftime, A.G. Patterson has 329 yards passing and 4 touchdowns. That's at the half.
Wow.
The Neptune quarterback.
That against Mattawan.
Exactly.
Wow.
Who was 3-0.
Wow.
This was a year that many thought maybe Neptune takes a step back after graduating such talent from last year's team, but they have certainly reloaded. Man in motion is Glover for Jackson. Tripped up as he crosses the line of scrimmage. Small gain out over the 20-yard line. Little jet sweep action out of that with 20 seconds remaining and the clock moving. We're winding down here in the third quarter.
And what's funny, we talked earlier, Matt, about, you know, big games this week, you know, in terms of the rankings and records. But now I think you start to see some of those teams who maybe are of the elite category start to stand out just a little bit.
On 2nd and long.
Good ball.
Pass completion over the middle is made. Lombana able to hook up with Nick Speck. Wanted to make sure they were going to rule it as a catch. They do. Out to the 45-yard line. We have a stoppage here with the third quarter coming to a close. We'll step out for 30 seconds as well. Tom's River North in control of this one. They lead it 42-7. We're back after this quick pause. You're listening to the Open MRI of Wall Game of the Week on 105.7 The Hawk.